Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and on the next Leonard Lopate Show, find out about the Reverend Sun Myung Moon's vast business and media empires and why he exerts so much influence in Washington and abroad. That's today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Now we're going to kick off a new two-week series, Congestion Pricing Countdown. We will spend a few minutes each day following the developments and looking at some aspect of the congestion pricing plan debate as we get closer to that April 7th deadline. It used to be March 31st. Now they're saying it's April 7th. Joining us to lay out where the proposal stands now and what might stand in its way is Josh Robin, New York One's Albany reporter. And we have posted a poll question on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you will see the simple question, do you favor congestion pricing? And we have three options for you, yes, no, and yes if, because for a lot of people, the devil is in the details. And so maybe some of you think, well, yes, congestion pricing if they take care of residency parking permits around the line so people don't all park in your neighborhood and then commute into the city or whatever. So yes, no, or yes if. For our Brian Lehrer Show poll, do you favor congestion pricing? And, of course, this is an essay question. This is not one of those dumb on-off switch polls. We want to know your reasons. Talk to each other there at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Josh Robin, New York One's Albany reporter, down here in the city right now. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
And I want to begin at City Hall because just a few minutes ago, City Council began an all-day public hearing that will then go into an all-evening public hearing, so people who go to work 9 to 5 can then show up, on congestion pricing. So this means City Council has to approve this before the state legislature even gets a crack at it?
That's right. And that was a move that Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker, insisted on, a home rule message from the city, because he didn't want to put his members from the city out there on a limb in an election year and be able to have people in their own districts possibly primary them and use this as a wedge issue. So folks in the city council, many of them are term limited. They're going to have to put their necks on the line, so to speak, on congestion pricing, just like assembly members will.
Can you read the tea leaves there yet? Despite this all-day, all-night public hearing, is it clear already where everybody's going to come out?
It's not clear, and I think that there's still going to be some tinkering with the legislation going forward to make it more palatable to people. Christine Quinn, the council speaker, is in favor of this. So is Mayor Bloomberg, for what it's worth, with the council. But a lot of city lawmakers and state lawmakers feel that folks from New Jersey are getting a better deal because of this, because their tolls, which often come up to about $8, are automatically deducted from what you're going to pay going forward. So their net increase is going to be zero.
Now, just to be clear about this, everybody's tolls on the way into Manhattan below 86th Street or Manhattan below 60th Street or whatever the final plan would be, everybody's tolls get deducted from the $8. You only pay the difference. But
right.
You're saying because the Jersey tolls are already so high,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be no net increase as there would be for people coming from Queens or Brooklyn or Long Island.
Right. You see a lot of people who are against it from Brooklyn and Queens because a lot of them take the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge, the Williamsburg Bridge or the Queensboro Bridge, bridges that are now free bridges. People from the Bronx seem to be, some of them at least, in favor of it a little bit, especially if they take the Triborough Bridge, because that is offset. You're going to see a major net increase from the folks who are going in off the free bridges.
Right, and of course this pertains to people in the northern suburbs as well. Now, on Friday, Governor Patterson came out in favor of the congestion pricing plan. Elliot Spitzer had been in favor of it. Does this matter? Does he have any clout right now, or is Patterson just trying to change the subject from the things reporters really want to ask him about, and you know what they are?
He does have clout. You know, the people that I talk to who support congestion pricing, I'll add that, are very enthused by the fact that David Patterson put out a program bill that laid out what the law would be. That said, there are all sorts of reasons why he might be supporting congestion pricing. On the face of it, he supports it because it's a good deal, because New York City desperately needs mass transit money, and because the Central Business District is choking on traffic and pollution. Now, if you want to use like the political explanation for it, he wants to change the subject. He wants to align himself with Mayor Bloomberg, who has an approval rating that's very, very good right now. And he wants to have something under his belt that's doable in the first, let's say, 10, 20 days of his office, considering that the state budget might be late.
And we can take phone calls for Josh Robin here at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Now, does Patterson have a plan with details? Because there is no bill yet. I don't know if there's a bill in city council, but my understanding is there is no bill yet in Albany. And so for this talk of the devil being in the details, whether people from New York get compensated in some way so they don't feel any more pain than the people commuting from New Jersey, whether elderly people, Liz Benjamin, the Daily News, had a good column the other day laying out some of these things that people are concerned about. Elderly people who come in to Manhattan for mm-hmm. doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. A few of these other particulars that may be subject to negotiation. Does Patterson have a particular plan?
Patterson does have a particular plan that came out on Friday afternoon. The Senate bill, I'm told, will pop up sometime today, and it's going to be sponsored by the Committee on Rules, which is just Albany speak for Joe Bruno. But Patterson's plan is not going to be palatable to a lot of the people who are on the fence or who are opposed to congestion pricing, because it really lays out just the bare bones of what the commission that was appointed by Spitzer and Bloomberg and Quinn and other top state and city officials appointed. And that is basically the residential neighborhood parking permit program, the fact that there is going to be this congestion pricing zone south of 60th Street or 60th Street and south, that all the money minus that which is used for to pay for the actual program will be used for mass transit. He's put it out, but you know, the real expectation over the next few days is that for this to pass the state assembly and the city council, for that matter, there's got to be some changes. And we expect that those kind of high level negotiations to happen. And Mayor Bloomberg has indicated that, or through his aides have indicated that they are open to tinkering with it, to getting it done.
Right. Now, this Patterson plan, is this really the Bloomberg bill coming out of Patterson's mouth? Because David Patterson has been in office for 20 minutes, and I know that there's been all this work going on behind the scenes, probably from the mayor's office, from various advocates in the business community and environmental community. So is this the bill that's been quietly, secretly, in some back, no longer smoke-filled room being developed, and now it's coming out of the governor's mouth?
Pretty much. I don't see really any difference in what the governor put forward. And the governor was very laudatory of Mayor Bloomberg when he made the announcement of this. I think it was on Friday.
Let's take a phone call. Debbie in Brooklyn. A cab driver, Debbie?
Yes, I am. Oh, my God. I'm so Brian, you're like my professor. You're just – I listen to you and Leonard all the time.
Get out of here. Just stop if I flag you down, okay?
I totally will. I'll give you a free ride. I just have to say I see so many cars going in with only – during rush hour with only one person per car. Why don't they have to have some sort of requirements on how many passengers per car like they did after September 11th? They really should – I see so many trucks with one person, so many cars with one person, mm-hmm. and that I feel like they should have a more collective kind of approach to this rather than having people charging people with money.
Debbie, stay on for a minute, and we're going to get an answer to your question. But Josh, isn't one of the other sticking points how taxi cabs are considered under the congestion pricing plan?
Right. Under the congestion pricing plan that the mayor has put forward, taxi cabs would have a dollar surcharge within the zone. There had been rival plans that had really walloped the taxi industry with, like, I think $4. I'm not sure if that was just in the zone or anywhere you pick up a cab. And I think that included livery cabs as well.
So, Debbie, would that be okay with you?
Well, you know, I just feel like there's just so much there's so much potential to be more logical about the way that New York City runs, you know, between cars. And I mean, it's like it's just there's so much simple logic out there that with, you know, charging people money, a lot of people were really struggling now. And with charging people money, we have high gas prices, and my passengers are not happy with everything. You know, it's just, and we should also have taxi lanes. Why not have taxi lanes? You have bus lanes.
Taxi lanes so that people ride cabs rather than take their private cars. And so Debbie's point is, and Debbie, thanks so much for your call and the nice words. Her point is, instead of charging money, why don't you place requirements that people double up, triple up, quadruple up in cars?
Yeah, they do that in some parts of the city during rush hour. I think coming out along the Gowanus Expressway, there's some sort of not an easy pass lane, but like a congestion pricing lane. But the problem that I can see, for all of its points, the mayor and the advocates of congestion pricing will have with Debbie's idea, and it's a good one and one that you've heard a lot, is that it doesn't raise money for mass transit. And it also would require a lot of money in police standing there and making sure that there are actually four people or three people or so on in a car. So that's the problem. The MTA capital plan is billions of dollars short, and the mayor and people think that people should be using mass transit run by the MTA, and, you know, that should be really their first choice.
New York One Albany correspondent Josh Robin, my guest on WNYC, as we launch our series Congestion Pricing Countdown. We will follow this all the way to the deadline, which is 2 weeks from today, partly to help you keep an eye on what details come out in case they are good or bad for you. When there is a bill in writing, we're going to get together a crowdsourcing project and let you dig into the bill and see what you think is there and report back on our website. In the meantime, we have a Brian Lehrer Show poll on the website. Do you favor congestion pricing? And we have three categories: yes, no, and yes if, since there are a lot of people who seem to be in favor if certain requirements are met. So go vote, go discuss it, talk to each other at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Josh, well-placed, by the way, to do this because before being the Albany correspondent, he was the transportation correspondent.
For Newsday. Yeah.
And so, Josh, those two things fit together here in a number of ways. And one of them is that the MTA has a budget, including a capital budget, for all this building that they want to do and that most people want them to do, Second Avenue Subway, Long Island Railroad stopping on the east side, all these other things. And most of the money from congestion pricing would go into that capital budget. What if congestion pricing is defeated?
Then you have a hole in the capital budget. And I imagine that, you know, they might try to raise revenue somehow. How they do it is unclear. You know, I think even with congestion pricing, I know that even with congestion pricing, the MTA is looking for more money from Albany. In the past, they have gotten, you know, money through all sorts of weird things that you don't think about, like, you know, when you sell property, there's a certain amount of money that goes over to mass transit. I think that there's, you know, gasoline taxes and whatnot that go to mass transit in the area. But, you know,
and they'll pressure the city,
sure,
and the state to put more direct tax money into that Capitol building, and then there's another whole political debate. Let's play a spot that the Environmental Defense Fund began running in both Spanish and English this past week. We'll listen to a mashup of both versions.
¿Qué tal si esta tasa se tradujera en un medio ambiente y aire más saludable?
What if congestion pricing meant less traffic, cleaner air, and a healthier environment?
¿Qué tal si Nueva York deja pasar esta oportunidad?
What if New York lets this chance pass us by?
All right. So that from the environmental group, Environmental Defense. By the way, on the website so far, it is 15 yes, 2 no, and 6 yes ifs. So the no's got to get out there. I'm not promoting result here. Just trying to get good conversation with people with diverse perspectives. But, you know, people are willing to buy these ads. There's a lot of juice on both sides, I think, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
You get that sense? A lot of enthusiasm, both for and against.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, on the against side, there are a lot of people who say that this is this is something that penalizes people for where they live. And the folks who live in Manhattan seem to get off easy. And the folks who, you always hear the working class people who live out in Brooklyn and Queens and who don't have great mass transit options are really going to get walloped with this. And it's just another tax on people who can barely afford it at this time.
Coming up later in the week in the series, we will ask how you use your car in New York City. We'll have a call in just for people who drive into Manhattan below 60th. It's not 86th anymore. It's 60th Street.
Correct.
Now, right, under the latest proposal, and what you would do if this does go into effect. But here is a yes if from Alan in Brooklyn. Hi, Alan. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. I think I probably sound like a broken record on this particular topic, but I'll say it again because it's timely. The major beneficiary of the transit system in New York and the subsidies for it is not the strap hangers of the city, but the skyscrapers. They would not be operable without the existence of the transit system. There is no reason why the general revenue, general tax stream of the city should be the only obligation of major landowners who have special access to transit stations, because the public is, in effect, giving them a special benefit by having these things give a particular value to the property within walking distance of each station.
So are you saying, yes, congestion pricing, but don't put the money into mass transit?
No, I'm not saying don't put the money into mass transit, but I'm saying the mayor's tactic of placing psychological reliance on the congestion pricing system, not just to encourage fewer cars on the street, but to finance our transit needs, is insane and unfair. We should be having both. We should have some lower-priced congestion pricing mechanism to discourage driving, and a renewed reliance on benefit zone assessments to charge back some of the windfall that's being given to major New York property mm-hmm. within access of transit stations to help finance the system.
Alan, thank you. By the way, Josh, some of the yes ifs from our website. Yes, if the city institutes zone parking permits like they have in D.C., otherwise what's to keep long-distance commuters from driving to Brooklyn, Queens, or the Bronx, parking and riding a train from there? Yes, if adequate parking garages are provided at toll points so that Uptown doesn't turn into a competition for parking or a parking lot, similar concerns. Yes, if monthly passes are sold a la Metro North so that people who need to drive into the city each day, like my husband, a general contractor who needs to drive his van in for work, will still be able to make a living. Now, there is something there, residential parking permits,
yep.
to try to stop, 70th Street from turning into a parking garage?
Yeah, that's in the governor's bill, and that's something that the commission has embraced. And that seems like it would be part of any kind of bill, because you need people legislatively. You're going to need people from Upper Manhattan and from areas that are going to get hit. And the governor, incidentally, is from Harlem. So something, that obviously concerns people in his neighborhood.
We just have 20 seconds. How about a monthly pass? So just like you get for the subway or for commuter rail. It's not in there?
It's not in there that I see. And I would imagine that at this point, because Mayor Bloomberg is so keen on getting this passed, he probably would entertain any of those ideas.
Of course, that's incentive to drive into the city more. So maybe it's the wrong incentive. Josh Robin, Albany correspondent for New York One. Thanks a lot. Our series Congestion Pricing Countdown continues tomorrow and every day on this show through April 7th, when the deadline is.